As you know, we've been doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and I love this. I love this picture. I really fancy one of those grapes, if I'm honest with you. Now, I missed last week, so apologies for that. But the ones I've heard, I've been really encouraged by, and I pray in the name of Jesus that would happen again tonight, because tonight we're looking at goodness. Now, this is an open question. What is goodness? How would you describe goodness? Any suggestions?
The opposite of badness.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah? Okay, what's the opposite to badness? How would you describe goodness?
Great kindness.
Great kindness. Thank you. That's a good one. Excellent. Anything else? Same things on the heart, yeah. Long as it's done with kindness, that's good. Okay, well, we're going to have a look into goodness tonight and hopefully be challenged by it. Because I looked in the dictionary and actually it says goodness is a form of excellence, kindness, well done, David, generosity, something beneficial like vegetables or fruit. How many times have you heard your mother say to you, eating them up, they're good for you? I say it all the time to my children. Expectation of surprise. Oh my goodness. That's a form of goodness, I suppose. But goodness is very personal, isn't it? Because what's good to you may not be, in my opinion, good to me. I get this all the time in my job. I hate it when a customer says to me, "What do you think of the paint I've chosen?" I have to be very, very diplomatic, you know. I remember what Kath one day helping me, and she took the lid off the paint, and she said, "Oh my goodness, that is awful, isn't it?" And the customer was in the doorway. And so she learned a very valuable lesson there. But what is good? I love magnolia. Boring, I know, but it goes with everything. But you might not like magnolia, so goodness can be a personal thing. I love grapes, you may not. I was having a deep discussion this afternoon with Catherine saying, what's better, grapes or raisins? And I never asked that question before, but there is a point to my question, because those grapes are alive and they're living and they look great. But why is that? Because they're attached to the vine. Raisins, they've been taken off the vine and they've dried up. And they don't look over attractive, but are they still good for you? I don't know. If anyone has any thoughts on that, let me know after. Thank you, because Catherine's apparently said if you had a pound of those and a pound of raisins, the raisins are better. But there you go. Well, that's the end of the sermon. So. But there is, I'm trying to get a point across there. It's remaining in the vine. And so I ask another question tonight. When people look at us as Christians, what do they see? Do they see a picture like that of health and joy and happiness? Or do they see some raisins that are still good, but they don't quite look the same? And so I've thrown out a challenge tonight. How do we look to the outside world? How are we going to get people through those doors and into this building so that they can hear about Jesus? Is it something in us that will draw them into that this building or whatever church in our city? I want a bunch of those grapes and I want to eat them because they look attractive, they look nourishing, they look nice. And that's what we perhaps should be towards people that don't know the Lord. Okay, let's turn to scripture. We've read it many times, but I just felt led again to read it. It's Galatians 5 verses 16 to 26. Which is what all this series is about. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions of envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Wow, that's a challenge. So, what is goodness? Do you know, when I was a child, do you remember that advert, Hovis? Do you remember that advert? Wonderful. That is a picture of goodness, isn't it? That really makes me want to make my sandwiches for tomorrow. You may not like brown bread. To me, that is goodness. Tesco, they do this wonderful range called goodness. Cheesy fish pie. Now, look at that. Do people like fish pie? No, see? Yeah, no, yeah, see? Cup of goodness. I love, Sally, I've got to be honest with you, your coffee. Sorry if you've given me a cup of coffee in the church. They're all lovely. But I have to say, I do enjoy when we have meetings at your house with a cupcake as well. Fantastic. That, to me, is a picture of goodness. I love coffee. Now, George asked me to put that on, okay? That, to me, is not a picture of goodness, but according to George, it is. I suppose they do say, actually, it is very healthy. But there we are. That's to be debated over another time. Okay, right. Oh, yes, lovely. We'll come back to that later. We'll keep it on that one. Okay. So, what is goodness? Well, to me, as a Christian, the only example that I can personally think of goodness is Jesus Christ himself. God sent his Son into the world, not only to die for us, but also to demonstrate his goodness. Just think of what he did as he walked around this world. He just oozed goodness from the minute he was born. I imagine he was a good child. But he spread goodness. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. But most importantly, he gave his time to people. He spoke to the downcast. That's a challenge to us. Let's be honest, I love talking to you folk because it's easy to talk to you folk because you're nice folk. But I was challenged this week. Okay, I was painting. It was a horrible job. It was a lean-to roof of all these bits of wood. And this dear lady, bless her, wanted them all painted white, and there was bits of rotten wood, which is, say that one, there's bits like that, and we had to put some of this lovely filler in. Resin filler, by the way, marvellous stuff. If you want to know more, see me after. And hopefully we made it look like that at the end. It was a challenge, but as I was doing this job, I wasn't enjoying it, if I'm honest. Just come back from holiday. Had a lot on my mind. I'm not going to talk about that. There was this lady next door came out the door to me. I just knew this lady's going to talk to me a lot while I'm on this job. And bless her heart, she came out and said, "Hello, young man." I was thrilled to bits. So she said, "Hello, young man." She said, you're doing a good job, blah, blah, blah. And I realised, I saw through the window that she had a special needs child in her house. And I thought, yeah, this lady needs a bit of chat, doesn't she, bless her? You know, my heart said to me, I just want to get on with this job and get out of her. But I just felt the Lord say, come on, you've got to give time to this lady. And it was a challenge. I'll be honest, it was a sacrifice. And I was painting away and chatting away to this lady. But I just felt, in a way, hopefully I'd spread a little bit of goodness into this lady's life. And then she would go in and I'd get twice as much done. And then she'd come out again. But I gave her my time. My heart didn't want to, if I'm honest with you. And that's shameful, isn't it? But I'm just being real with you tonight. But I felt my spirit say, Give time to this lady. She's got a tough life. You spend an hour in this lady's shoes, and you might appreciate someone to talk to. And I just share that tonight because it is costly, isn't it? Sharing goodness. And it was costly to Jesus. You know, we read stories how he administered all day. And he went in his boat for a bit of solitude. And when he got over the other side, crowds were waiting for him. Now, if I'm honest with you, I would have said, let's anchor up out there and stay out here for a bit while I recover. But no, he didn't, did he? He went that extra mile. He gave that extra to those people because he had compassion. And that is the word, isn't it? Is goodness perhaps compassion? You know? I'll be honest, last year was a tough year for me, as you know. I went through a really, really tough time. But what blessed me was cards you received or a phone call or someone talking to you. And they always came at the right moment when you were really at your lowest. God knows, doesn't he? And bless you all for your help through that situation. But it is that sacrifice, isn't it? But it's not only that sacrifice, it's thinking about it. It's thinking, is this person in need tonight? What can I do to help this person at this time? Now, I love my work, okay? And in a way, as I was preparing this yesterday, I felt the Lord say, your work, in a way, is spreading goodness. I'm spreading paint everywhere. I can go into a student's flat that is awful, okay? Trust me, it is. And hopefully, when I've left, I say, actually, that doesn't look too bad, hopefully. And I'm not taken for work here, I assure you, okay? But in a way, I'm spreading goodness. I think, actually, that looked better than it did before I went in. That's the general idea, anyway. And in a way, we should be like that, shouldn't we? We should be spreading goodness with those that we meet day in and day out. So how do we apply it? How do we apply goodness? It's the things we say, isn't it? The things we do. It is a challenge and it is hard. And I'm not saying tonight, oh, it's really easy. You just go out there and you do this and you do that and you do the other. But there is a secret. I got the key to it, okay? I've got the key to it, okay? If we do it in our strength, we won't do it. Impossible. Last Tuesday, I was up that ladder painting those horrible beams with the horrible rotten wood, which I prepared beforehand, by the way. And this lady came next door and I said, Lord, I do not need this right now. And he said, no, but she does. I did feel, if I'm honest with you tonight, I felt the empowering of the Holy Spirit to get me through my barriers and help this dear lady. Because if you go back to that first slide, that grape, I was saying to the Lord at that time, I need you in this situation. I can't do it. I don't feel like doing it. If I'm honest with you, I don't want to do it. But because, hopefully, I allowed God to work through me, I was drawing on his strength to do that. And I'll be honest, again, I love being honest. Last evening was a real struggle for me, okay? All week I've been thinking, I've got to get ready for Sunday. I've got to get ready for Sunday. And other things would pop up and I had to go there and everywhere. And it was getting to Friday evening. I was thinking, this is really, you know, getting close now, Lord. I really could do with some help. And it got to Saturday evening and the Lord laid on my heart, play a song, which we're going to hear here in a little bit. And it was The Lord is My Shepherd by Keith Green. Now I'm going back a bit now. Keith Green, anyone? Yeah? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful singer. I'm sorry, but he is. And I just felt the Lord say, play that song. And there's children doing things, so I thought I'd put the headphones on. So on goes the headphones. And I tell you what, it's like a switch went on. I just felt I was in the presence of God. Again, I was attaching myself to that vine. Now, I know we're attached to God 24/7. I know that. I'm not saying that we're not. But sometimes we forget that, don't we? And sometimes we have to get to that place where we say, actually, Lord, I really need you at this time, and I'm going to concentrate on you. And it was like a tap turned on. It just all started flowing. And I thought, wow, Lord, how foolish I am. I've been trying to do this in my strength, my plans, and it just didn't work. There was a real... I just learned a lesson, even almost from my Christian years, you forget. But again, the Lord said, you foolish person, you know, I'm here for you when you're at your deepest need. When are you going to learn? So again, I learned again. Psalm 23, we know it so well. But again, I just feel very powerfully tonight that this is the key to what I'm trying to say to you. Psalm 23. I'll put the glasses on again. Okay. There we go. Lord, yes. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I tell you, what a beautiful psalm. We know it so well. But isn't there a reality there? This psalm just speaks of peace. It speaks of, look, just get yourself away from all the hassles of this world. Come to me. Draw yourself to me. And I can give you that peace. I can give you the answer to your problems. But you've got to draw to me. And in Galatians, as we read at the beginning, there's a battle going on, isn't there? There's a heavenly battle going on in the Spirit. Verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. There is a battle going on all the time. Things are trying to draw us away from what God wants in our lives. All the time. And we're so slow to cotton on to that. So it says, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Draw close to the Spirit. What are you saying in this situation, God? What are you trying to tell me? There is a closeness there. There is a peace there. If we do come into the presence of God in a very powerful way. And then when we do that, we hopefully can read this with such power tonight. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we know that. But do we really believe it? Have we really grasped that tonight? And we just see a wonderful picture of Jesus carrying the shepherd. That's what he wants to do tonight. You know, I don't know what your situation is, but you may be like that little lamb, weak, tired, I don't know. But Jesus is always prepared to pick you up and carry you through that situation. And then, when we do come close to God, we are able to help other people. This is the Good Samaritan. And it's interesting to know, we know this, again, the story all so well, don't we? The religious people walk by, basically. Those that should know better walk by. But it was the Good Samaritan that actually had compassion on this dear man and gave everything. And again, that's a challenge to us as Christians. You know, sometimes, if I'm honest, we can be not very nice to each other. If I'm honest with you, we can. We say things perhaps we don't mean to. Very dangerous weapon, this tool here, this mouth, isn't it? It's a very dangerous weapon. We can say things. And perhaps afterwards we can think, well, actually, I don't know if I should have said that. Why did I say that? We have to be so careful what we say. And I'll be honest again tonight. I'm being honest from my heart tonight. I wasn't going to share this, but I just feel I've got to, actually. But as you know, we've got a huge project on next door. A huge project. And I'll be honest, someone said to me, what's been the hardest part of it? And I said, well, actually, it's people. Now, I'm sorry, I don't wish to offend anyone tonight, but I'm being real tonight. It's not that someone's not right, we sort it out, that's easy. It's the it's the hassle you get through doing it. And I'm saying this with love today, but I'm being real. If I didn't say it, I wouldn't be real to you tonight. We can all have a nice, cosy, as Jeremy would say, fluffy service. But I'm being real tonight because I've said things to people in the past that I thought, actually, that was a bit harsh, wasn't it? And I didn't realise, they've come up to me about a year later, you really hurt me that night. Did I? I didn't know. So again, let's be challenged by that. You know, when I'm teaching my boys, I'm trying to teach them to paint, you know. It's a nightmare. They do things, I think, oh Lord. But I try and encourage them nicely. I say, well, that is brilliant what you've done, but I can show you even a better way. Don't get it on the carpet for start. put a sheet down before you start. But bless them, they're learning. And I have to make allowances for that. Now, I've got nothing wrong. If there's something not right, I want to hear about it. But it's the way we do it, isn't it? And that is a challenge to all of us. So we're going to come around the Lord's table. But I just felt tonight, I hope I've portrayed in the short time I have what I'm trying to get across tonight. We've heard it many times, but some people look at this and say, well, actually, that's weeds that young lady spread in there, which it is. But there is a message to that. Make goodness matter. She is spreading, in her opinion, goodness. I just want to challenge all of us here tonight that why don't we just try really hard to spread some goodness this week? You know, I don't know what's coming at me tomorrow, but I'm going to really try and be patient with my lovely customers and show some love and compassion, and also within the church. And it is hard. There's people here I want to meet up with and spend time with, and it's not easy. But what is important in life? Is it doing things like that, or is it actually spending time with someone when they actually are in need? And I felt very challenged last year, and I'm still very challenged by it. When I was in need, there were times when I needed a phone call, and it didn't come. And that's just me being stupid, probably. But it really opened my eyes up to what God is saying. And he said to me, yeah, there's a lot of people in your church like that, and what are you doing about it? And it really woke me up. And so I will say to those tonight, and I mean it truly, if you are in need and you need a phone call, give me a ring, honestly. I don't mind. I really don't mind. But I do mind if someone's hurting and I don't know about it, or the other elders, or any of us. Don't have to be the elders. We're all here for one another, aren't we? So please do that, because unless we know, we can't help, can we? So we're going to come around the Lord's table now, because as I said earlier, God is, in my opinion, goodness. So if someone asked me, what is goodness? I would say, look at God. He's good. If you follow the ways of God, you're not going to go wrong. You're not going to go wrong. You're just going to spread compassion. He showed compassion through Jesus Christ. Through the breaking of bread tonight, we come before him and remember the ultimate goodness that he portrayed through Jesus Christ. So I wonder, Paul, if you would tinkle the ivories again for us as we come into communion. And after this hymn, I'm going to ask Jason to play that little piece of music. Again, it's based on Psalm 23. But use that time as we listen to that tape to just take on board, hopefully, what I've portrayed tonight. And let it just break away the barriers in our lives that would stop us spreading that goodness to one another. Let it be a time of ministry. Thanks, Paul. Thank you. Father, we give thanks for the reality of what we just heard. Father, you are the good shepherd. And Father, when we go astray, Father, in whatever way, we go away from you, that protection, that love, that safety, Lord, we've only got ourselves to blame. And we ask for forgiveness for that. And we just ask, Lord, that we would be drawn back into your flock, as it were, the vine, where we can draw on your strength, your love, your compassion, your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.